Good afternoon, farm news here on the Red River Farm Network on this Monday, August 13th. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Cunnan and Megan Turnquist in studio. We start this broadcast with Harvest Hotline, brought to you by U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and the North Dakota Mill. Based in Warren, Minnesota, North Star Ag Service owner Scott Edgar is seeing wheat yields all over the board.
Guys are waiting for it to mature a little more in a lot of fields, but the heat's helping it. Really, there's some fields that dried out that were running around 50 with good protein, and then there's some fields that are running mid-70s with lower protein. I mean, it goes by variety, and it goes by some guys were actually wet early and dried out late, and those fields weren't very good. They were the ones that were running in the 50s. But the fields that are fairly nice, I've a lot of 12s, some 13 proteins, you know, but there's an awful lot of 12s out there, too, on the nicer field.
Edgar says most remaining fields still a little wet.
Yeah, some of these fields are still a little green. I mean, they're nice. The nicer fields, actually, though, you know, most of it's old soybean ground. Now they've taken off the beet ground. They're sunflower ground, and now they're waiting on their soybean ground. And they're coming around quick, though. With this temperature we had this weekend, most of these fields are coming around pretty good.
Wheat harvest in the Coal Harbor, North Dakota area is underway. Paul Anderson says yields are running from 40 to 50 bushels per acre.
Very good dry conditions, good sound quality wheat that we're picking up right now. Started swathing about 7 days ago, and we're picking up swaths that look really nice right now.
Anderson says most of the field peas are harvested.
People are working on peas that have peas, have their most of the yellow peas are off already, and I see a few garbanzo bean fields that are starting to turn that are probably 2 weeks away from harvest.
South Dakota Wheat Commission Executive Director Reed Christofferson says South Dakota's wheat harvest is ending.
Well, when we look at the 2018 wheat harvest in South Dakota, we've first got to take into consideration the two very significant hail events that we had at the end of June. And so for producers in central South Dakota, received some just pure devastation as a result of that. As we move into the surviving winter wheat crop, producers, I believe, were very pleased with what they found. We heard some very strong yield reports and good protein.
Christofferson says spring wheat harvest was slightly delayed and had lighter yields overall. Colby, Kansas-based JKD Harvesting is combining wheat in Bison, South Dakota. Owner Jim Dibert says yields there are in the 40 to 50 bushels per acre range.
We've had good protein all summer long. I'm afraid it's going to be tough on the protein market, but some of the people, that was all they had was protein, not much crop.
After harvest is complete in the Bison area, Dibert will head to Scranton, North Dakota to harvest wheat.
They're still saying that it's a little on the green side, but after yesterday's little heat and wind, it may not be so green too long, but they're telling me it wasn't any hurry.
And that's Harvest Hotline, brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the North Dakota Mill, U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, and the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council.
Excessive heat occurred across the northern plains over the weekend. World Weather Incorporated reports high temperatures range from 100 to 107 degrees Fahrenheit from the heart of the Dakotas into Montana. Highs further east reach the upper 80s and 90s. A majority of the northern plains is expected to remain dry through Friday. Some scattered showers may occur in southernmost areas, but not notably impact soil moisture. Conditions will be most stressful for crops in the central and western Dakotas and Montana.
The northern plains continues to see that hot, dry conditions that continues to stress crops. Commodity Weather Group meteorologist Dave Strait says when you combine temperatures in the 90s and 100s with no rain for a couple of weeks, crop stress is bound to happen.
Given the fact that we haven't seen a lot of precipitation activity across that area over the last 2 to 3 weeks. So, and I think, you know, the drier soils just helped to accelerate that warm up across the area. So, yeah, definitely seeing some yield reduction for some of these drier areas.
Strait does not expect to see any change in weather patterns for at least the next couple of weeks.
Probably not. One of the models, the European model, which we do pay attention to, was trying to bring something into the area late in the 6 to 10 day time frame. But there's not a lot of support for it from the rest of the stuff that we look at. So we're kind of skeptical that there's going to be that much help from it. And quite honestly, by the time you get that far down the road, it's probably going to be a little bit late as well.
World Weather Incorporated says most of the Midwest will continue to experience very good crop conditions. However, there are a few more days of hot and dry weather that will stress crops and reduce yields. In the other places in the Midwest, other than the northeastern Kansas, northern Missouri, southern Iowa, and North Dakota, and northwestern Minnesota, places where it's dry, in other areas, there will be mild temperatures and rains of up to an inch, and more rain expected through early next week, bringing drought relief to eastern Kansas, into Missouri, and nearby areas of southern Nebraska and southern Iowa.
Houghton, South Dakota farmer Troy Connect says the area is hot and dry. It's been in the mid to upper 90s. Corn is loving the heat and is ahead of schedule. Soybeans, though, are showing sign of stress.
Really, in our area, they're hanging in there pretty good. And with the cool down this week, I think we'll be okay. But half inch or an inch of rain would be very timely right now.
Soybean experts are forecast below last year's in Friday's USDA supply and demand report. USDA Ag Outlook Board Chair Seth Meyer.
Exports have been quite strong. South American shifting of what they're exporting in transit and problems elsewhere in the world in terms of their corn production. So we've seen some pretty good export strength for the U.S. corn as well, too, so far this season.
For the first 9 months of the fiscal year through June, the U.S. has shipped 45.6 million metric tons of corn, 4% more than last year. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon, farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Following Friday's USDA reports, the grain and livestock markets are trading momentum. This morning, soybeans bounced.
We're still seeing pressure on the corn and wheat markets. Fundamentally, there's some things to be encouraged about and optimistic about, particularly as we look at the longer-term picture on corn, but yet it remains under pressure. And I think that shows that we're seeing a lot of money flow pressure on these markets. Fundamentally, we're looking at the crop progress reports that come out this afternoon to see if we see continued deterioration of the particularly the soybean ratings. The trade right now is factoring in a worst-case scenario of big crops and low demand and big surplus supplies.
INTL FC Stone Chief Commodities Economist Arlen Suderman says the soybean crop can go either way on yield. If ratings show a drop in conditions, it could soften some fears. Also, a trade agreement could add more momentum to the markets.
Or we get agreements with other countries that start to put more pressure on China. I was very encouraged by a report on Friday that China has removed U.S. crude oil from its retaliatory trade tariff list. I think that shows a crack in the armor on China's part, that they're starting to suffer under the weight of this trade agreement. Also seeing reports that social media within China is starting to see some disgruntled comments from the public that this trade war is going to end up costing them in the end.
USDA's weekly export inspection shows corn exports for the week ending August 9th down 2% from the previous week at 1.3 million tons. It is 65% more than the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections are down 35% from the previous week and 2% below last year at 581,000 tons. Wheat export inspections coming in at 463,000 tons, 42% more than the previous week, but down 9% from last year. For the marketing year, corn inspections are running less than 1% behind the year-ago pace. Soybean inspections are down 3%. Wheat inspections are running 38% behind last year.
China's vice agriculture minister said over the weekend, China has other options to purchase and grow its own agriculture goods. The country is exploring purchasing the crop from other countries and alternatives to feed livestock. Political reports, the South China Morning Post indicates farmers could permanently lose their place in the Chinese market.
The U.S. and Mexico entering week 4 of the North American Free Trade Agreement 2.0 talks. However, the Mexican economy secretary says they aren't far enough along to invite Canada back to the table. The secretary also says Canada's return to the talks will depend on the speed in which the next few days or weeks they finish the U.S.-Mexico elements.
Mike Langseth farms southwest of Fargo. He wants the trade discussions to be resolved soon.
Trade is definitely a big thing, and we're hoping things get resolved, as soon as yesterday. But I don't know. I've resolved to be storing a lot of soybeans this.
Langseth says he isn't ready to take $8 cash for the bean crop. He plans to store the crop, and he hasn't heard much on USDA's aid package.
Just going to put them in the bin, and I saw some corn off the combine instead of beans off the combine this year. It'll be all right. Not much beyond just that it's apparently coming. I have no idea what the formula is going to be. I have no idea who's in charge of administering it or, exactly what we'll be getting. But I'd rather have a trade deal.
A former school grounds teacher who has cancer was awarded $289.2 million in compensatory punitive damages after a jury found Monsanto failed to warn him of dangers posed by using glyphosate-based Roundup. Monsanto is expected to appeal the decision. AgriPulse reports the first step in the process is to evaluate which post-trial motions to file, and one could be conducted during trial also. Monsanto Vice President Scott Partridge feels pretty confident about an appeal.
A Brazilian judge halted new registrations of products containing glyphosate. According to a new Reuters report, existing registrations will be suspended while the Brazilian government reevaluates the toxicity of glyphosate products. Brazil's public health agency and ag ministry have announced plans to file appeals. Herbicide manufacturers contend the country's farmers have been safely using glyphosate for more than 40 years. Without glyphosate products, the industry contends it's impossible to do agriculture. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Data has become critically important for farmers, and drones are part of that process. AeroVironment Business Development Director Matt Stryan says this is a purpose-built tool that verifies what's happening in the field.
So if we can make informed decisions throughout the year, that'll help us gain what we want to do. But as an example, if we try to set a target rate of 200 bushel, and we see that we have an issue in that field, can we respond to it and improve it? That's where I come back up with my ROIs, being able to identify prior to yield. So that's what we really focus on, is making sure that we have that in-season functionality of being able to see what is going on with our plants.
AeroVironment invented the drone 30-plus years ago for the military. That technology is now available in agriculture.
It almost flies all by itself. It's not fully autonomous, but it's virtually fully automated. So anybody can fly it. With whatever the learning curve of technology is, they can fly it. And we're able to do that because of our millions of hours of use in the military side. So that's really put us ahead of the curve.
For many, drones began as a toy, and Stryan says there's been a transition to commercially available tools for agriculture.
A farm futures survey shows support of President Donald Trump from farmers is slipping. The survey reports 60% of farmers would currently vote for Trump again. That's down from the 75% support level received from farmers in the 2016 election. 24% said they would not vote for re-election, and 17% were unsure. 86% of farmers said Trump's move to reduce regulation is good for their farm. However, only 8% support Trump's claim that trade wars are good and easy to win.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, September Minneapolis wheat down 14 and a quarter at 594 and a half. September wheat for, I suppose, many, rather, Chicago down 15 and a quarter at 531 and a half. September Kansas City wheat down 18. September corn down one at 356 and three quarters. December corn down one at 370 and three quarters. September beans up four and three quarters at 855 and a half. November beans up five at 866 and three quarters. In livestock markets, October live cattle down $1.22 at 108.02. November feeders down 75 cents at 149.17. October lean hogs up 77 cents. Thanks for joining us. This is the Red River Farm Network.